My colleagues around the table, the senior leadership at the table, as well as staff in the audience, as well as our guests. I call this meeting of the Board of Trustees to order. It is now officially 6:07, and we will proceed directly into the agenda. Just a few remarks. To acknowledgments. I'm always excited this time of year because it's commencement weekend. And so commencement will take place on Saturday. I'm sure the president will say a little bit more about that. So I encourage all of my colleagues to attend commencement ceremonies on Saturday. And then on Friday, we have another event in the Student Center at 6 o'clock. So I again encourage all of you to participate in that as well. As is our practice, since I took the chairmanship gavel a year ago, I want to always at the beginning of the meeting acknowledge a student, a faculty, and a staff member. So we will proceed to do our acknowledgement at this time. The first one will be our staffers, Mr. Christopher Spencer. Could you come forward, please? Thank you. So Mr. Spencer, I came to know him because I was wandering around the garage one day and didn't have any idea where I was going. He came over and rescued me and told me who he was and what he did. And so I think it's appropriate that we honor him. Again, the idea here is that we want to acknowledge people that do the work of the university that we never see, whose names we never know, but we want to recognize the contribution that they make to the UDC ecosystem. Mr. Spencer has a very long title, or a very important title, and tell me again what that is.
I'm the manager of business of Auxiliary Enterprises.
Auxiliary Enterprises, that's a fancy name, isn't it? He's the business manager of Auxiliary Enterprises. So with that, I would like to present you with the certificate this evening. And it says, University of District of Columbia Certificate of Appreciation is hereby awarded to Christopher Spencer in recognition of your support to Firebird Nation. Congratulations on the job well done. May 6th, 2026.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And Mr. Spencer, before we let you go, could you just tell us a little bit about what being a business manager of Auxiliary Enterprises means?
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity. We do a little bit of everything on campus. We're here to serve. We're one UDC, so whenever somebody needs service, we're here for them. So we under umbrella is the Reproduction Center, the Mail Room, food service and so forth, and a parking as well.
Yes, of course
you will. So
that's
a little bit of everything. So thank you so much for the honor. I appreciate you.
We appreciate the work that you do. All righty.
Thank you, sir.
The next acknowledgement will be presented by Dr. Littleberry.
Great one.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, trustees. I am here today to acknowledge a very hardworking young lady who has student support. And you can be told by many of the students who are in the audience that have on red and white shirts or black and gold shirts. They are all here in support of Miss Aaliyah Shelton. Ms. Shelton is currently serving as the 2025-2026 Student Government Association President. She appropriately titled her administration as the Legacy Administration, and I would like to acknowledge the fact that they have definitely left a legacy for students at UBC, including together to establish a permanent space for student leadership to work out of this year in the Student Center. She also worked to expand and strengthen the SGA structure by filling key roles, including reactivating the judicial branch of SGA and creating an elections committee to support and ensure fair, transparent, and well-organized campus elections. She led a comprehensive revision of the SGA bylaws to create a more transparent, fair, and modern student government system. She prioritized the student voice through data-driven decision-making, conducting multiple campus-wide surveys and strong engagement to guide initiatives. She launched the UDC Care Initiative, which was a pitch competition. That was what she did. She initiated the Student Athlete Snack Bar Project to support the nutritional needs of student athletes. And that is an initiative that will continue with the incoming administration. She just has a host accomplishments this year, and I felt it appropriate to congratulate her on a job well done. Okay, so the certificate reads, Certificate of Appreciation, is hereby awarded to Kalia Shelton in recognition of your support and commitment to Firebird Nations. Congratulations on a job well done.
Last but not least, we have an acknowledgement for a faculty member, and I believe Dr. April Massey will present this one.
Okay, I think this is actually a redo. Because we forgot to invite him. Would Dr. Talessa Dexisa come forward? Come on. Dr. Dexisa is a valued member of the UDC community. He serves in a staff capacity because he directs the Water Resources Institute, and he is responsible for driving, overseeing, being accountable to the university's responsibility to do water testing for samples from across the city. So when you think about the number of different sources in the city that keep your water supply safe, UDC is prominent among those, and Dr. Dexisa is the person who is driving through a certified water quality testing lab that UDC is helping the district keep its water supply safe. He is also responsible for driving the professional science master's degree programs, of which we now have three, and you'll have some graduates in the line on Saturday. But he also has been a master researcher across a number of collaborative design projects that are bringing together researchers, collaborators from across the institution. And so while he sits in causes, he has been responsible for driving research projects that cross CS, CAS, and causes, and the community college. So he's a valued colleague from across the institution on the faculty and staff sides. And he is just one of the nicest, most humble people that you could ever meet on this campus. So I am proud, and I will read. It says, University of the District of Columbia Certificate of Appreciation is hereby awarded to Celessa Dexisa, PhD, in recognition of your support and commitment to Firebird Nation. Congratulations on a job well done.
Thank you.
That's what you're going to say.
Yes. This is Lucky's attain effect. The first thing to recognize always invisibly is the campus service. People are working on the venting system in our lab. The venting system doesn't work on our machine. You can't meet those accreditation requirements. And ranging from there, from post office, general counsel is still working hard to breaking all the ceiling of regulation, whatever requirement to provide service to different entity. So I think we are now to the level where we can lead this image, this lab services and image, like that. Targeting the emerging contaminants and micro to serve the community, not only the research, the community, support the agency, health agency, environmental, multiple agencies. So we're very proud. I'm very proud to be with UDC and the leadership team support is what resulted in all my success and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Skip roll call. So, can you call the roll, please?
Chair Session.
Present.
Mr. Redd.
Present.
Mr. Grossinger. Mr. Akins. Dr. Mr. Krim. Mr. Danenberg.
Here.
Dr. Oyedele.
Present.
Mr. Grayson. Dr. Jackson?
Present.
Mr. Lopez? Yeah. Mr. Terlonghi?
Here. Yeah.
Mr. Kokoza? Ms. Leitinen? Dr. Eddington?
Here. Yeah.
You have a quorum. Mr. Chair, you have a quorum?
Thank you. I'll move to the minutes, and I have received two corrections to the minutes. The first from Trustee Kokoza. Mr. Kokoza, would you like to indicate what that correction is?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I would ask that the minutes be revised on page 4 to reflect that the motion that I made regarding the authorization of the General Counsel in the governance matter say that the General Counsel seeks to resolve by adding the words to seek to resolve. In the initial copy of the minutes, that word to seek was not included.
So the
motion would read, Trustee Kokoza made a motion to authorize the General Counsel to seek to resolve the agenda's governance matter.
Thank you. The second is Dr. Jackson, please.
There are two corrections. I believe that each time Vice Chair voted for several votes, they have it's yay, nay. I believe she only voted nay for the secretary position. And in addition to that, the second one was the count for the secretary position. There were 7 that were affirmative or negative and 2 that abstained. Right now it reads that there's 3 that abstained, and I think Dr. Oyedele voted in the affirmative.
Correct. It's listed as abstained, and I did a vote. I did vote. Yay.
Okay, thank you. So we have 2 corrections to the minutes. And so the motion is on the floor. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye. Any abstentions? The motion carries. Thank you. So now we will move to entertain a motion to approve the Master of Social Work program in the College of Arts and Sciences.
I move that we approve the program.
We have a motion to approve. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second, any discussion? Opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries. And Ms. Rivers, would you read the mayor's clause into the record?
Now, therefore.
Thank you. Now, I'm going to turn a motion to approve the executive appointment of Dr. Lewis Johnson as Chief Research Officer and Senior Vice President of Research. Motion. Turn your microphone on.
I move the acceptance of the resolution for the executive appointment of Mr. Romy Prince as Vice President. I move that the resolution for the executive appointment of Dr. Lewis Johnson as Chief Research Officer and Senior Vice President for Research be approved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Ms. Franco, could you please read the mayor's clause?
Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Trustees of the University of the District of Columbia approves the appointment of Dr. Lewis Johnson as Chief Research Officer and Senior Vice President of Research, effective August 10th, 2026, consistent with the terms and conditions of his appointment letter.
Second, any discussion? Will say that meeting Dr. Johnson's credentials, he is extraordinarily accomplished. And we know Dr. Eddington likes those brainiac scientist types, but his credentials, for those of you who had an opportunity to read his bio and his credentials, his resume, I think he landed jewel. So, congratulations. To Dr. Johnson's moved second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Abstentions? The motion carries. Is Dr. Johnson in the audience?
No, he's listening.
Okay. I want to acknowledge him if he was here. Okay.
Chairman?
Yes.
They're online.
Mr. Brandenburg is the only one.
All because it's online. He needs to vote online.
He needs to
vote on not everybody. He does.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Brandenburg. I plan to take the vote. Okay. Is Trustee Aikens? Can you press?
Aye.
Okay. Mr. Danberg, Trustee Agents, thank you. I will now entertain a motion to approve the executive appointment of Mr. Ruby Prince as Vice President for Facilities and Real Estate Management.
Okay, I'll get it correct this time. I move the acceptance of the appointment as executive appointment of Mr. Romy Prince as Vice President for Facilities and Real Estate Management.
The motion is on the second.
Okay.
Second, Ms. Rivers, could you read this clause?
Therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Trustees of the University of the District of Columbia approves the appointment of Romy Prince as Vice President for Facilities and Real Estate Management, effective May 18th, 2026, consistent with the terms and conditions of his appointment letter.
Is there any discussion? Say that I acknowledge Stephen that the search for this position, the good fortune and opportunity to participate in reviewing the candidates. And I can tell you once again, as we did with our chief procurement officer, Ms. Johnson, he had a highly competitive field. I was very encouraged that it was so competitive that we had so many good candidates that any one of them could have gotten the job done. You all know that I like sports metaphors, so I think Mr. Prince has the best opportunity of hitting threes on a consistent basis. So thank you, Mr. Byam, for your leadership there and to receiving Mr. Prince. Okay, so it's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor? All opposed? Any abstentions? Yeah, I was going to see.
Aye.
Trustee Akins?
Aye.
Thank you.
So everybody has said aye, no one opposed, and abstention. So with that, the motion carries, and Mr. Prince to the Firebird Nation. And then we get into the really heavy stuff. We entertain a motion to approve the modification number one to the rooftop license agreement between T-Mobile, Northeast, and the Board of Trustees of the University of District of Columbia.
Mr. Chair, I move approval of modification number one to the rooftop license agreement between T-Mobile and the Board of Trustees of the University of the District of Columbia.
I do have a second.
Second,
Ms. Rivers, would you read the Whereas Clause?
Therefore, be it resolved that the license amendment and the president is authorized to execute the amendment in substantially the form attached, hereto as Attachment A, and is authorized to exercise the options to extend the term of the license.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Discussion, I call the vote.
Mr. Dannenberg?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Motion carries. Thank you. I will now enter into a motion to approve the Follett Bookstore lease agreement. Do I have a motion?
I move approval of the Follett Bookstore lease agreement.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Ms. Rivers, would you read the recital? Whereas Clause.
Now, therefore, be it resolved that the board approves the lease agreement. The president is authorized to execute the lease agreement in substantially the form attached, hereto as Attachment A, and is authorized to exercise the option to extend the term of the lease agreement in accordance with the terms of the lease agreement.
It's been seconded. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
And a quick just scan of the new agreement. I see that for lease year one and two, both the annual and monthly base rents are at zero. Could we just get further clarification on why we're not collecting revenues on the first 2 years?
I'm going to call on Mr. Franklin to respond to that. Did you hear the question?
I did. Good afternoon, David Franklin, Chief Operating Officer. So I appreciate the question. One of the challenges the university has and has for several years now is that we don't have the opportunity to allow for or provide tenant improvement dollars. We simply can't do it. As a result of that, the option that the university has explored and has been successful in leasing our storefront space is through abatement. This is the last particular vacant space, Connecticut Avenue. We have worked over the last 5 years. We have actually went to the council, let me just share that, and requested funding to support allowance for tenants, potential tenants, to do provide them with funding, which every other company is able to do in the district. Any tenants come in, landlords are able to provide them with dollars to do build outs. We simply cannot do that. So in lieu of that, in order to attract these potential tenants, we have explored and successfully again went through the option of providing rent abatement.
Thank you for the explanation. Any other questions, concerns, or discussion?
Mr. Franklin, is it, I'm sorry, I need to be recognized.
Yeah, Mr. Kokos, go right ahead.
Am I correct that the bookstore then will be moving from its current location, and will there be any disruption of services in that transition?
So I appreciate the question. Yes, the bookstore will be transitioning from its current space to that of the storefront space at 4250. However, there will be no disruption. We will be doing the construction in collaboration with Follett Bookstore. Once that construction is completed, we will then do the transition from the current location in building 3839 to that of 4250. Appreciate the question.
And then can I ask, what is planned for the space that the bookstore is currently vacating, will be vacating?
Another excellent question. The university at this point in time is conducting a feasibility study. One of the things that we are interested in doing is really trying to see if there's an opportunity. As a matter of fact, I'm going to punt on this to our president. How about that?
Thank you, sir. It's as COO Franklin said, we have a number of potential scenarios for how we want to use that space, and it goes beyond just the space that will be vacated by the bookstore. And so we've engaged an external consultant, and they're in the midst of doing a feasibility study. And so we're looking at a bunch of different options. I don't want to put those things out right now just because many of them will not come to fruition. But we want to really kind of push the envelope to see if we can accommodate some of our pressing infrastructure needs. And so once that study comes back over the next couple of months, we're going to make a decision about how to best utilize the whole building, actually building 38.
Thank you.
Any further discussion?
Trustee Dannenberg. Trustee Akins.
Aye.
Abstentions? The motion carries. Thank you. Our next item is I will entertain now a motion to approve the FY26 student housing lease agreement at 3003 Van Ness.
Mr. Chair, I move the approval of the FY26 student housing lease agreement at Van Ness.
Wait a second.
Second.
Ms. Rivers, could you read the lease clause?
Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Board of Trustees approves the lease of 12 apartments at 3003 Van Ness. The president is authorized to execute each of the leases substantially the form as attached hereto as attachment A.
Second, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Mr. Dannenberg?
Aye.
Mr. Akins?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The motion carries. Thank you.
And I believe that takes care of all our action items for this evening. So we're moving right along, Vice Chair. We'll move to the report of the president.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have put together a very brief report this evening, trying to be mindful that we have commencement this week, and several people in the audience have some other things I know to get back to, like Dr. Massey. So I'm trying to help you out. But I did want to take this opportunity to provide some update on some topics that I thought are of special importance to members of the board. First up, as everyone knows, we are in the midst of the district's planning cycle. Since our last meeting, the mayor has submitted her proposed FY27 operating and capital budget to the council. And so I wanted to provide a high-level summary of the proposed actions with respect to UDC. So the first slide is looking at our operating budget. And we'll recall that the response to the institution received, which basically was almost a 10% reduction. And so when you compare our FY26 approved budget to the mayor's FY27 proposed budget for the subsidy, it's about a 9.6% reduction, dollar amount about $9.57 million. But buried in that is a little piece of good news in that when we received the mark, I previously shared there was a line item reduction that we felt should not have been included. And the team, we advocated very strongly to the mayor's team, and those efforts were successful. And so $1.98 million was restored to our budget. But at the same time, the district had initiated a zero-based budgeting initiative with respect to workforce training programs. And bottom line is, several million dollars across the district have been pooled from workforce programs, and UDC will most likely receive a $1.68 million reduction to our workforce development lifelong learning program. That's on top of the reduction that was included in the mark. And so we're still working, right, to engage with the council to look at opportunities to mitigate that proposed reduction. But that's where we stand now. And so I'll be engaging with the team over the next several weeks in budget briefing meetings. And that's at the top of the list for our requests. And for those that watched the budget hearing, I included in my testimony a request to the council that they consider the restoration of those funds. And I'll pause to see if there are any questions before I move on. Okay, we'll go to the next slide. And this is, again, a high-level overview of the mayor's proposed capital budget for UDC. We can go to the next slide. And so here there's more good news in terms of the capital budget. Okay, we're still waiting to go to the next slide. Oh, you know what? I'm going to have to click on my hand. I'm sorry. It's me. I'm so caught up in those numbers. I was talking to myself. And I wasn't listening to me. Sorry about that. The six-year capital improvement plan proposed budget is highlighted here. And I'll just point out a few things. And there's some good news in this budget for FY27. There's $11 million proposed for a number of infrastructure enhancements, continuing the investments from prior years, including $2 million for the last phase of the CRM implementation. FY28, one of our biggest, highest level priorities, most transformative issue is student housing.
And we had requested $5 million in the FY28 budget to support the potential student housing P3 project. The mayor supports that request. And
Mayor Dowling, Wednesday, Thursday, virtual People's Church, Sunday, praise virtual adult school. And that's it.
$5 million request in FY28 budget. There's another potentially exciting thing that's further down the line in FY 30 and 31. There's a total of $35 million for a capital project to renovate or build a new building 46 where our music program is located. So we're excited to see that those dollars were placed in that budget. And so we're going to continue, just like I said, with the subsidy, continue to advocate for support from the council to keep these items in the budget. And then there are a couple other priorities that we have that were not funded that we'll advocate for as well. But again, I think given the climate and budget pressures on the district, I was pleased to see this level of support. So pause to see if there are any questions. All right. And so quick update on where we are with the student housing public-private partnership, P3. We have completed the first major part of that, which was the RFQ process. There were a total of 9 firms who showed interest. And of those 9, our selection committee selected 5. To move forward with the RFP phase. We had a series of developer workshops over a period of 2 days, April 27th and 28th, shown in the photo there, where our team, supported by Railsford and Dunleavy, met with each team of developers. And it was an opportunity for them to ask us questions, give us some insight into their preliminary thoughts about how they're approaching the work and make sure that we communicated some of our priorities at this stage. And so you can see on the left, there's a timeline for the next steps in the process. Of course, this board and the UDC Foundation Board will have to approve certain pieces of this as we move further along. But just wanted to give you all a quick snapshot on where we are with this process. So I'll pause to see if there are any questions.
Mr. President, could you describe the composition of the technical evaluation team?
Oh, yeah, thank you. So we have a team, a 5-person team. There are 2 members of the university administration, COO David Franklin, Chief Student Development Success Officer Terry Littleberry, trustees, Trustee Josh Lopez. And then we have 2 members of the UDC Foundation Board, Doug Furstenberg and Meredith Manning. And so that 5-person team is the group assembled to make the decisions. I serve as an ex officio member, and I have been participating in all activities and convenings of the team. I'm ready. All right, so I'll go to the next topic. This is a topic I know is of great interest to members of this board and several members of students and audience. As we shared earlier in our last meeting, WMATA back in February approved modifications to the Metro UPass program. And those modifications make UDC now eligible for participation. This is big news. Students should be clapping. and there's a lot of advocacy. I very specifically want to point out Trustee Lopez for because he was very influential, I know from personal experience, in helping to open up the minds of the board members at WMATA. So thank you, sir. And so they're very excited about UDC's possible participation. So Dr. Littleberry and I attended an information session that they had last week, Terry. And so they invited local schools to come for a couple hours. And so we got a really in-depth orientation about how the programs works. What we need to do to move forward, there are several steps, but the key milestone moment is June 15th, where institutions will have to submit a formal expression of interest. And so Dr. Littleberry is moving quickly to do the internal assessments. I mean, there's several different ways that the institution can participate. It could be all of our students, or it could be different sub-components of the institution. It just depends on how we want to approach it. And so there's a lot of internal due diligence we have to do to make a decision about what we think is the best path forward for UDC to launch. But I'm excited. Dr. Littleberry is excited. And so we're going to move quickly. And I'll pause for any questions.
Trustee Jack, President Eddington, I wanted to also acknowledge Trustee Jackson, Trustee Grayson, and Trustee Terralonge, who organized a student town hall last year. And that's really where the feedback came from our student body on their need with the UPass. So thank you for bringing that to the forefront, bringing it to the board and to the university to get it done.
Yeah, Dr. Jackson, you got Trustee Lopez 5 up. Good, thank you. Anybody else? All right. As Chair Session mentioned earlier, we have two big things coming up this week to celebrate our graduates. We have an honors ceremony on Friday. And we all know how Dr. Massey throws a party. And so we're looking forward to a very elegant, enchanting evening where we're going to honor our commencement honorees. And she and I are, and the chairman are inviting members of the board to come out. Starts at 6 p.m. in the Student Center Ballroom. And if you were there last year, you know it was a very nice event. And then, of course, Saturday morning, we're going to be at commencement. We have several honorary degree recipients, as the board is aware of, and highlighted by our speaker, Mayor Bowser. So again, looking forward to both of those events. And Dr. Massey, did you have anything you wanted to share? Okay, very good. She wants me to be done. And so with that, Mr. Chair, I conclude my report. And as I said, it was very brief.
Thank you, and I will be brief as well, just a couple remarks. First, let me just acknowledge and share my appreciation for the trustees who were able to attend the educational presentation back in April on governance. It was a very productive discussion, and I expect to continue to follow up in short order, so be alerted to some coming dates, and hopefully we'll get a full complement of trustees at the follow-up. So thank you for that. The second thing I'll mention, I had the opportunity to attend at Stanford, matriculated as an undergrad last week. And one of the things that was because we have all these really, really smart people here at UDC with degrees and patents and so forth. So I took the opportunity to meet the person that leads Stanford's technology transfer and licensing. And I noticed in your booklet, one of the position responsibilities for Mr. Johnson, who's coming on as the chief research, is to align research initiatives to promote innovation, entrepreneurship, commercialization, increased licensing at UDC, UDC's intellectual property. So this has become one of the big rocks that I want to take on, because we just have so many smart people. I've been down to the technology lab and seen all these patents on them. So it's time that we begin the effort to commercialize and monetize this intellectual property. So having had the opportunity to visit with the person who heads it up at Stanford, of course, Stanford is the gold standard when it comes to turning, you know, intellectual property into money. I mean, think of Silicon Valley. I mean, it's Google to Facebook, you name it. So that's going to be an initiative that I'm, Mr. President, with the VP of Research, because again, gives us an opportunity to
to generate additional revenue. And completely and solely dependent on what happens at the Wilson Building. So stay tuned. That's, again, that's going to be an initiative that I'm going to take on and really try to run with. The second last thing I'll mention is today I took part in the grand opening of the F.H. Monterey Center in Resilience Incubator 7. Those of you don't know, and most of us don't, what a resilience hub is. It's a place, even a community center, an integrated facility designed to help people prepare for, respond to, and recover from emergencies or long-term changes. Think of it as a trusted local center that becomes especially important during crises like extreme weather, power outage, health emergencies like we experienced with COVID. Oh, why do I mention this? Well, because this is one of the partnerships that UDC is taking on with causes. But two of our senior people, Dean Jones, who is the dean of causes, and as well as Sabine O'Hara, who attended that, and we are now in partnership with the Ward 7 community-based organization that's very interested in what we're doing in the area of sustainability. This is exactly outpacing partnership engagement to continue to develop and exploit. So I wanted to mention that because UDC's flag was waving at this event this afternoon, and I'm really grateful that this being done at causes. One of the things that you're planning to do, I plan to do, is convene some of the teams, because I'm still learning. I've been here almost 2 years, over 2 years, still learning the various colleges and universities and what people do. And causes is one that's really attracted my attention because of the heavy lifting they've been doing as part of our land grant status and characteristic. So again, this partnership with the Flower Center and Resilience Incubator is going to be, I think, an important achievement for them and for us. So again, just stay tuned as we move on. So with that, that concludes my remarks. I'm rushing. Dr. Rudd, please. I combine my executive report with my remarks. So
no additional report from the operations committee.
There's always a president, academic and student affairs. Audit, budget, and finance, Mr. Grossinger, he's not here as well. And then lastly, Dr. William Carrick, there's no further business. So, is Mr. Danner, Trustee Dannenberg, did you have something to share?
Not at this time, thank you.
Okay. So, I would like to acknowledge that student representative Karen Dell, this will be his last meeting, and I had the attend conference, the AGB conference in Denver. Mr. Terrell, Trustee Terrell, just tell you, he really stood out and represented UDC very well, as did his predecessor last year. So I want to acknowledge his service in for the last this last academic year. And as a parting gift, Ms. Carol, I'll share with you a proposal that does not require any action at this time, but he'd like to leave with us. I circulated to all the trustees, so I'd like him to speak on that at this time.
Thank you very much. I kind of prepared something for future when it is time for to vote for it. So today I present a proposal for the establishment of two enduring institutional initiatives, the Student Leadership Wall of Fame and the official freshman induction ceremony. While these initiatives may appear separate on the surface, together they serve one shared purpose: to preserve our history while shaping our future. Every great institution is remembered not only for its academic excellence, but for the traditions, symbols, and stories that unite its people across generations. Long after students graduate, what remains are the memories, the culture, and the sense of belonging they experience while walking the campus grounds. Traditions create identity, recognition creates inspiration, legacy creates community, continuity. These initiatives are designed to accomplish all three. The first initiative, the Student Leadership Wall of Fame, would serve as a permanent recognition of the student leaders who have helped shape the university throughout its history. This wall would honor all USGA presidents, vice presidents, and student representatives to the Board of Trustees. It would stand not simply as decoration, but as a living history, historical archive of leadership, service, sacrifice, and excellence. Far too often, student leaders dedicate years of service to improving the campus community, only for their contributions to slowly disappear with time. Names fade, stories are forgotten, institutional memory becomes fragmented. This proposal seeks to change that by creating a permanent and professional display in a highly visible area, such as a Student Center A-level entrance wall. We ensure that future generations of students will be able to see the legacy of those who came before them. When students walk past those names, they will not simply see a list of individuals. They will see proof that leadership at this university matters. They will see examples of students who use their voice, their talents, and their commitment to create meaningful change. Most importantly, they'll begin to imagine themselves doing the same. This initiative is also about preserving institutional continuity. The university possesses a rich history of student governance and leadership that deserves to be documented and celebrated. Through research, travel work, and alumni outreach, I have already begun compiling decades of student leadership lineage. By formatting this effort, I not only honor the past, but also strengthen alumni engagement and institutional pride moving forward. The second initiative proposed today is the establishment of an official freshman induction ceremony, an annual institutional ritual designed to welcome incoming students into the university community through symbolism, unity, and shared tradition. Across the nation, some of the most respected universities are recognized for the traditions that define their student experience. These traditions create emotional connection, school pride, and a sense of belonging that extends far beyond graduation. This proposal seeks to create that same defining experience here at UDC. The freshman induction ceremony would serve as a symbolic rite of passage. It would mark the transition from simply being accepted into the university to truly becoming a part of its community and legacy. The ceremony is built around the symbolism of flame and light. The institutional flame represents resilience, knowledge, leadership, and the enduring spirit of the university itself and becoming a firebird. This ceremony would not merely be an event, it would become an official university tradition, one repeated year after year, generations after generation. It would create a moment that our students remember for the rest of their lives, a moment where they feel seen, welcomed, connected to the institution they now call home. The implementation of these initiatives is both realistic and achievable. The proposal outlines a phased timeline beginning with board approval, followed by data verification, design development, and final launch. Collaboration between student affairs, the Student Government Association, alumni, and the university leadership would ensure successful execution and sustainability. The expected outcomes are significant. These initiatives would strengthen institutional identity, increase student engagement, deepen alumni connection, preserve leadership history, and create traditions capable of shaping campus culture for decades to come. More importantly, that would help students feel connected to something meaningful. Research and experience alike show us that students who feel a strong sense of belonging are more likely to lead, persist, succeed, and ultimately give back to their institution. I would like to emphasize that this proposal is ultimately about legacy. It is about honoring those who come before us, inspiring those who are yet to come. It is about ensuring that university continues to cultivate not only educated individuals, but connected communities and ensuring traditions. A year from now, students may not remember every lecture they attended or every meeting they participated in, but they will remember how this institution made them feel. They'll remember the traditions that welcomed them, the leaders who inspired them, and the moments that made them proud to call themselves Firebird. Today, we have an opportunity to create those moments, not just for ourselves, but for every generation that follows. Thank you.
Well said, obviously very, very thoughtful. And I hope that as you pass the baton to your successor, that you will move him and encourage him to run the distance with your proposal. Let me just say that in attending the AGB conference with Trustee Till, things that came to our attention that many other universities have some configuration where student trustees can serve more than a year. I'd like to explore that because I always thought a year was just not enough. The conference was just in April and he's leaving. He's graduating tomorrow. I mean, the day after tomorrow. So we need to find some way to duplicate other universities are doing so that at least the student trustee gets at least a full 2 years. So trustees, let's think about that. Let's figure it out. And certainly Trustee Taylor is not going too far. So if we need to pick his brain, we can do that. So once again, we thank you for your service. Is there any old business? There being none, that concludes our agenda.
That's on the one.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay, it's under old business. There's a governance matter that's come to my attention I need to share with the board for discussion and advice from general counsel. Given the nature of this matter, I want to take a motion to move into executive session.
Chair?
Yes.
I move that we adjourn to executive session.
It's a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Is discussion the relevant part of the DCMR that allows us to go into executive session in accordance with DC Code Section 2-575-D4A, the Board of Trustees hereby gives notice that it will conduct an executive session to consult with an attorney to obtain legal advice and to preserve the attorney-client privilege. The Board will not return at the conclusion of the executive session. Because the reason for the executive session is to receive advice from counsel regarding the governance matter, I move the general counsel be allowed to attend the executive session. Do I have a second?
Second.
Into the executive session. It's been moved seconded. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Trustee Dannenberg?
Aye.
Trustee Akins?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? There being none, the motion carries. Now, part two of the. Now we're going to vote on committee council to join the executive session because She's the reason we went into executive session. So do I have a motion to admit general counsel to the executive session?
Chair?
Yes.
I move to allow the general counsel to attend the executive session.
Second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? There being none, all in favor?
Aye.
The motion carries. That's it. We're now in executive session. Thank you all for your attendance, and we'll see you in June.